Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song.
Well, it just goes to show what happens when you get Jenny Finch on the side. You know, win after win after win after win. What were we worried about? I mean, Thomas Bartley, what were you worried about in any way, shape or form? You know, 4-0 against Sunderland, all the other victories that's there. You know, it's set sail for the premise line now, isn't it? The Premiership.
I would say hold your horses, Alex, perhaps. Maybe we need to give it at least a few more games before we start radically changing our expectations. But yeah, I mean, it's been a turnaround for sure. I don't think any of us would argue with that. All of those sorts of initial worries about a collapse kind of put to one side. I mean, still a lot of us probably asking why is it for the... It's definitely second, probably you'd say third season in a row we've started so poorly, but... But yeah, we've put it to one side. We're onwards and upwards now.
Yeah, I mean, this certainly was one of the record-breaking starts to the season. I mean, Rob, clearly from your own point of view, a huge turnaround and obviously devastated for Tony Mowbray, who believes that obviously Sunderland shouldn't have been reduced to 10 men.
Well, he'll have to have a word with his player about that, won't he? But... it wasn't. It's been an incredible turnaround. I guess we wondered when Lenihan scored from the corner at Sheffield Wednesday, and we drew. We went on to draw 1-1. Would that be a turning point? And we weren't sure. It's sort of like coming out of the ground. We weren't sure because Sheffield Wednesday was such a poor team that basically we should have gone on to win that, but it's turned out to be a turning point. It's been an incredible turning point because we've played so well since. And obviously confidence is a big factor, isn't it, Alex? That's what it sort of underlines that fact.
Sean, let's turn to your good self whilst I'm trying to sort out why we seem to be getting some howl round on this particular side of things there. Is it a case of all's well with the world now and happiness is reigning in the Rye household?
I mean, it's certainly a better outlook than it was, for sure. We were getting a bit sick of having our weekends ruined. But to be fair, I think a lot of us alluded to it in the last pod, you know, referring back to some of the more experienced professionals. And I think we all touched on it in one sense or another. And it's proven to be right that gradually bringing these new players in, who I think will add value over time. I think it's been a much better approach to get some of the players in who have, if you like, championship nous.
Of course, Rob, as you say in your editorial for issue 639, Birmingham City, so much water has passed under the Transporter Bridge since our last issue. We're slap bang in the middle, of course, of Discover Middlesbrough, I believe. Is that not the case?
Yeah, I've just come here from the library where we've been talking about this different sort of time slots. We've been talking about 6,000 years of salt extraction and processing on Teesside. So, since our last issue of the fanzine is just like a blink of the eye compared to that.
It makes perfect sense. Okay, let's turn to Jenny, if we can. I mean, from your own perspective, Jenny, is this a case of, well, you know, I knew there wasn't anything to worry about as long as they followed the line of go for them?
Absolutely, go for it. I think the point about confidence is very important because as soon as you get that confident and you get a couple of wins, you start to feel you have control. And psychologically, you can really go for it. And I think that enthusiasm was missing before. There was a grim determination, and that's a whole different approach to a match. If you just go for it, you never know what can happen. I mean, England might even beat South Africa on Saturday.
Yep.
Yeah, right. But I think Borough has got a much better chance.
Yes, I think actually from that perspective, you might sort of be stretching it a little bit to actually go against the Springboks. But I suppose where there's hope, where there's faith, all sorts of things can actually happen. Chris, let's turn to your good self. In terms of the experience, is it a case of, well, you've seen it all in the past, you've seen it again in the future, and this is clearly a case of, you know, yet another chapter in the glorious march towards the playoffs, at least?
I think it's a strange one, really. I was thinking about what Rob said about the turning point. You know, was it the Sheffield Wednesday game? I mean, the Southampton game for me felt like a cup tie. It felt as though it was one game that we had to win to kind of like kickstart our season. And I think that, you know, it.
You just lost in mid delivery there, Chris, but never mind. I mean, I think we get the general gist of where we're doing. I mean, Rob, of course, this is the beginning of the city, the city, the city, and the city, from your own perspective. So, you know, is it a case of you'll be cityed out by the time we get to the end of the month?
Yeah, there'll be quite a lot of miles in that as well. You're talking about Norwich City being and Exeter City being two of those cities. And obviously, yeah, Birmingham City before that. So there's
and the Manchester United derby, you could argue in many ways, with both Wazza and of course Michael Carrick having been part of the Old Trafford scenario. Presumably, right. You don't want Michael to actually give a birthday present to the forthcoming 38th birthday of Wayne Rooney.
No, I don't think so. Maybe, yeah, definitely not. No, it's obviously. We've talked, a few of us have mentioned this in the fanzine, the fact that a Borough old boy, he didn't last very long in a Borough shirt, but Eustace was quite, having taken Birmingham City to sixth position, he's been quite badly treated, really. That's as high as they've been for like decades, isn't it? But I think Birmingham's a massive project, as you might say, because if you were to go to St Andrews now, you'd find half the ground closed because they built the new ground on top of the old ground and it's structurally unsound. And that's probably the case of the finances of that club as well, structurally unsound. It's like, so it's not going to be solved overnight. And I think there's a bit of pressure on Rooney. And probably what Chris was saying about Southampton was that we went into that game against Southampton everyone was talking about Southampton for Russell Martin, that there was pressure on them in that game, and maybe we turned that into our advantage. I mentioned in the fanzine, I think we mentioned last time, didn't we, that Russell Martin was jogging through Albert Park on the morning of the match, and he suddenly ran into like 200 or 300 people doing the park run, and I think he thought he was just going to be running on his own, and he had to get out of there really quickly. And it was a similar sort of ambush at the Riverside for his team, and yeah, we were able to sort of turn that pressure onto them, and we've just grown and grown since, and using the. Going back to the sort of tried and trusted formulas in the past and the players from the past, and seeing Johnny Howson recover from where he was last season, it's really, really sort of bolstered us to the point where we could go to Sunderland, hammer Sunderland without our captain, without our vice captain, without our left back, and without our top goal scorer, and, you know, beat them with 4 goals to spare.
Well, in the words of Stanis Dan, of course, somebody we haven't cited in for a while as yet. I don't think we've cited him this season, which is quite astounding, basically. Stanis Dan, of course, back from serving on the front line in Afghanistan. Occasionally, you have to admit when you are wrong, he says. After what can best be described as a disastrous start to the season, I was already questioning Carrick. Even in a drunken state, I may have demanded for him to go on social media, was quickly deleted. He soon proved me wrong and got the team into some good form. What was really pleasing was that we cemented that winning run with a win in the Tees Weir derby. At least the Sunderland fans took it well. Sean, talked about Peter Eustace at Birmingham there. Of course, the Millwall manager is also gone. I mean, there were a lot of people who were calling for Carrick to effectively go. Was that a case of it was premature? And now actually it's looking as though, you know, we do need to actually maintain a certain stability to achieve success.
I think so. And I think we talked a lot about the reason for bringing Carrick on board and the fact that he not only fit the dynamic of what they wanted in terms of leading the team. I think they saw someone who can work within the framework that Middlesbrough want to move forward with regards to being a head coach and working with a lot of young players and developing them. So I think most of us on the pod have been quite patient and we were quite happy for Carrick to remain in charge. Of course, there was a lot of criticism early on in the season, but football is so fickle, and I think it's great that we've sort of as a whole stuck by him, and look how calm Carrick was in his press conferences. I think that cascades to the players as well. There was a real danger that a lot of our players, if we'd have had a manager that maybe singled out one or two players to sort of almost foot the bill for some of the poor results, I think it could have gone a little bit differently. But he's really put his belief and support into them players, and I think they're rewarding him now.
In the words of Thomas Bartley, thank goodness we did not take the twist option over Michael Carrick. Looking for a new boss is a truly soulless enterprise, and embarking on it for the fifth time in as many years would have set us back even further. But, Thomas, why were you writing this from East Berlin? What are you be doing in Germany? Are you kind of checking out the lie of the land for the forthcoming European Championships?
Yeah, I'd love to say that I was on a sort of Gareth Southgate scouting mission research trip. But unfortunately, no, it was just a little holiday. But so I managed to get a trip over to see the Union Berlin Stadium. They were playing away that day. I can't remember who to now, but so I couldn't really see a game or anything. But I mean, you know, just in the article, sort of reflecting on the position they're in at the moment, where I think expectations have gone through the roof a little bit. And obviously it's a club with quite a proud identity. And I think it's trying hard, really hard, to sort of maintain that identity whilst also remaining ambitious in Europe, because I think realistically they could certainly hope to be in many more Champions League or Europa Leagues to come. It's been not a great experience. I mean, the Real Madrid game was pretty fair, I would say. It wasn't too much of a poor performance, but I think they certainly need some points, or if they're not to fall out of the group stages. But yeah, just an interesting sort of comparison, I think, to thinking about where we are at now, trying to readjust our expectations just as they are in it, albeit in very different circumstances.
Yes, Real Madrid, of course, these days seemingly obviously reliant upon a former number 22 from Birmingham City, Jude Bellingham, in terms of the range of things that he's actually doing. We need to talk a bit more about the Sunderland game. Why? Because we can. So let's turn to Sean. Were you expecting a 4-0 victory?
I wasn't. And to go back on one of the points that Rob made, you know, we like to be confident and we're quite positive normally. But when I saw the lineup and I saw not so much the talent, if you like, but I mean, McGree has been impressive this season. But the leaders like Lenehan, Housen, I did wonder about the it being a big game and how we would perform. But I think the depth is starting to come to the fore a little bit now. Players like Greenwood and Engel are starting to get up to pace. And again, credit to the management team who they've been patient and they've waited until these players are up to speed, not only physically, but mentally in terms of what is expected of them. Hand on heart, I didn't expect that kind of emphatic victory, but it made it all the sweeter.
Yeah. Well, it's brought us neatly round to, of course, the traditional Jimmy Flynn piece of poetry. Rob, are you set and ready for alarm bells down at the riverside?
I am.
He is, exactly. It was a pause, a sort of nice, effective pause there from that point of view, as you say, written by Borough Jim Flynn, when we were all wallowing in the depths of depression from Borough's nightmare starts to the present campaign. Over to you, Rob. Would you like to launch this particular narrative line, which obviously will then be critically dissected, no less, by Sean, by Chris, by Jenny and Thomas?
Yes, this was written and submitted by Jimmy Flynn. When we were at the depths of our depression, when we were losing every game. So he wrote, "Alarm bells down at the riverside. As all long-suffering Borough fans well know, through the emotional ringer, they are destined to go."
And with the new season barely underway, pre-season optimism is fast fading away.
"Down at the riverside, alarm bells are ringing, as the new campaign unforeseen problems is bringing.
Borough are on a startlingly, seemingly interminable downward slide, swimming for survival in a remorseless relegation riptide.
A season fans had awaited with eager anticipation is now shrouded with a spectre of relegation.
A cloud of depression has settled over the riverside as the divide between second and third tier grows ever wide.
And with every new match day's dawning, the chasm in class becomes increasingly yawning.
A close season that saw much change of personnel has precipitated a dip in fortunes, which hapless Borough fails to foretell.
A squad with underperforming international stars throughout is in a self-dug hole with seemingly no easy way out.
Michael Carrick is the man who holds the key that will unlock the door to the super team Borough can be.
Another major management miracle is now called for to lift ailing Borough clear of the championship floor.
Jenny, your thoughts on that little offering from Jimmy Flynn? Is it up to his usual standard? Is it a case of, well, you know, he needed to say it? Poets capturing the soul of the whole club.
I thought it was great. I thought I was listening to that and thinking, yeah, it felt exactly like that. I loved the bit about the riptide because, you know, you can feel you just getting swept away. I think he used his words really well. I enjoyed that. Thank you.
Chris, any thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, it was very good. It just seems though it was he kind of composed it many, many moons ago, but it was probably only about 3 weeks ago before that fantastic 2 week spell where we managed to win those five games. But it does seem quite kind of retrospectively quite an ancient poem now with all that kind of doom and gloom and misery and what's going on. But you know, now we look at the Riverside with rose-tinted spectacles, so things are totally different.
Clearly. Thomas, is this something where you say, well, let's hold the horses. We've still got Exeter City before we can actually say we're in the quarterfinals of the Carabao Cup.
Well, I think as far as that game with Exeter is concerned, I don't think any of us need reminding about times when we've had our sort of heels clipped, I don't know if that's the right phrase, when it's in sort of cup competitions. We've played teams that we thought we would turn over at ease, and then all of a sudden we've stumbled out. So I think we definitely need to be cautious with that one. Even if it did, in some ways, sort of stand in opposition to our league form for a while, it looked like the cup was keeping us going. I think we still need to be cautious, and they'll fancy it just as much as we will. It's a chance for them to get into the last eight of a cup competition, which you might say would mean a lot more to them than perhaps us, given the current way that competition's viewed. But yeah, I mean, it obviously would be fantastic. We've talked before about the 20-year anniversary coming up to the League Cup win. So yeah, it'd be very nice.
On Saturday, the 17th of September, at 17 minutes past three, Middlesbrough conceded a goal against Southampton from one-time Borough target Adam Armstrong. This was the opening to your contribution to Fly Me to the Moon, the paper edition, the original, and some might say best football fans that you can go for. Chris, in terms of your final paragraph there, today we see the return of Rooney after the tawdry sacking of Eustace, who had guided them to a top-six place on limited resources. Do you not think it's just a case of, well, you know, Wayne has so much fun with respect to Colleen and Rebecca Vardy, etc. You know, he needs a bit of a break.
it's just, I think even in the Championship things, they used to say that the Premiership, there was like kind of no mercy with the way that managers were sacked just at very short notice. But now it seems as though that kind of the similar scenarios is just the Championship now, you know. That, I mean, Eustace has done really well on such limited resources. He's had to balance books. He sent a lot of people out. You know, Bellingham went to Sunderland and things like that. And then he's got, like Rob said earlier, I can't remember the last time they were in the top six, and he gets sacked. You know, it's just a ridiculous state of affairs, I think. And I know Rooney, he done quite well at Derby, but I think, yeah, is it just a name that American with the American owners that they know he's familiar with American audiences? I can't really grasp it, really. So I just hope we capitalise on the changes that has happened at Birmingham, really, because it just doesn't make any sense. If they've done it because they want the soap opera, well, then good luck to them, really.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously they've got to compete with Netflix's series on the Beckhams, so presumably they're looking to produce that. Rob, Centre Spread, as always, you've done us proud. Behind Enemy Lines and Borough's Bygone Blockbusters by, respectively, Daniel Johnson and Will Nett. Is that a real name or is that a pseudonym?
he's an author, is Will Nett. I don't think he's really called Will Nett. But Daniel Johnson's interesting because his dad wrote for the fanzine. So it's a bit like Thomas, a second generation fanzine.
You see, that starts making me feel old now, Rob, when you start saying those kind of things, really. Yeah. So it's when Thomas brings his children and we got grandchildren working on that basis. Yeah. It's frightening, really. It's not obviously Thomas that you have any grandchildren, at least not that I know of. It would be a bit of a shock to Chris if you did. So, you know, I'm sure that basis is just a kind of bottom line. Sean, in terms of the history of the club, because there's a lovely feature as well on cigarette cards, not that obviously we in any way, shape or form endorse them, but do you often sort of feel that, yeah, oft times we do need to actually remember the history of the club, the line, I mean, the opening line, the Victorian era when men were men and women were banned from everything. These things are kind of critical. I mean, we know Billy Pickstock, Alf Common, George Campbell, Steve Bloomer. I wasn't familiar with Billy Pickstock, I must admit, but the others very much rooted in Borough legend.
I don't think Billy... I have a feeling Billy Pickstock is a figment of Will Nett's imagination.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've got a very rich history, as I'm sure every club would say. But I don't know at what point you realise you're starting to get older. But even myself, when I think back about when I was growing up, the likes of sort of Stuart Ripley, who was an idol of mine, and the likes of John Hendry and stuff like that, and you don't realise until you start talking to some younger Borough fans that they're not quite fully aware of what they did in a Borough shirt. But yeah, absolutely. I think it's good to look back on historic games and where the club's come from. And sometimes we can get a bit ahead of ourselves. And like we were talking about before, when Thomas said about tempering expectations and stuff, we've got to remember sometimes at points in history where we were and what, how close we came to dropping out the system, full stop. So I think, tempering expectations is quite a good theme to go with at this point in time.
I was very impressed with the alliteration you employed in the magazine, Sean. Patience and perseverance prevail. I mean, obviously, that's the classic P scenario on that basis. Was that something that, in a sense, reflecting on, as you say, Middlesbrough labouring to a 1-1 draw with Sheffield Wednesday in game week 7, and then, of course, the change round, that actually it is important, as we've said many a time so far in this podcast alone, to sometimes stick with the whole system as opposed to saying, right, out, time for another manager.
Definitely. It's easy to say that. And we were sort of almost hanging our sort of belief on what Carrick was saying, and that he'd seen enough in training, that he'd seen enough from the group, and he was happy with the way that a lot of them were applying themselves. And we were just waiting for that to kick into gear. And I think the Sheffield Wednesday game, as we said, was so pivotal in the sense that there was a bit of panic, there was a bit of worry even on the fans' part, because we thought we could see how poor that team was that we faced. And we were thinking, if we can't turn them over, what have we got to look forward to? But thankfully, even though we went behind in the Southampton game, it almost gave us that rocket up the backside, if you like. And I think we sort of kicked into gear. It was like fight or flight. And I think, we really picked up since then. So, yeah, a bit of patience and a bit of perseverance, I think. And Carrick's been at the head of all of that. He's sort of shown us the way to go with regards to how to compose yourself and how to deal with sort of disappointment, if you like.
It's a hectic end to October because literally thick fixtures coming, to use the cliche, thick and fast. We have Birmingham City for the 21st of October, which is tomorrow if you're listening to this live on the Friday evening. Or we've got Norwich City again on Tuesday the 24th, followed by Stoke City at home on the 28th. And then, of course, the Exeter City game. Jenny, you've got a lot of connections with Birmingham. I believe you used to teach there. So do you feel as though this is something where various good form will continue, or are you a little bit wary?
I know Birmingham are a lot ahead of us in the table, 4 points and 10 places, but they've not got anywhere like as good a recent run of form. And yeah, they are in trouble, and people always get a bit shaky when you change the manager. It's a good idea to stick with what you've got. I think Borough will be okay. I think they'll turn them over because they're definitely on a good streak, and Birmingham are a little bit shaky, and they're nowhere near as good as Aston Villa, let's face it.
Chris, what's your prediction?
2-1 to Borough.
Okay, and Chris?
3-1 to Borough.
Oh, so not a clean sheet then. Sammy Diang obviously sort of not holding that. Thomas, are you going to go for a clean sheet, or is it a case of you going for a 0-0?
I think I'll go 2-1 as well.
And Sean?
I'm going to go 1-0.
And Rob?
2-0.
Yeah, I mean, they do have similar careers in terms of win ratios, although I think Wayne Rooney had a considerable amount of time with Derby County, as well as obviously his time in the States, which is presumably one of the reasons why he got this particular post. Okay, and very quickly, Rob, in terms of Norwich City, are you geared up for a flight to the Canaries and to see what wonderment will be there literally a few days later on Tuesday the 24th?
Yeah, I wish I was flying. yeah, looking forward to that. And hopefully we can win again at Norwich and keep this run going. Obviously, we've had maybe the international break came at the wrong time. I don't know. We'll be able to answer that tomorrow, whether it stopped our momentum. But hopefully we just keep rolling forward. And you mentioned clean sheets, and that has been as significant as anything. Not just the goals that we put past Sunderland, especially, which was fantastic, but the clean sheet, because we've been shipping a lot of goals this season. So it's a really good sort of combination to score them and stop them coming in as well.
All of these sides, of course, Borough, Birmingham City, Norwich City, Stoke City, they've all actually been in the top echelons of the league. I think they've... Have Birmingham been in the Premier League? I'm not sure whether they have. I'd have to double check on that. They certainly were in the old First Division. My first time seeing Birmingham at Essen Park, as was a sixth round FA Cup.
Yeah, Premier League. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always think of Birmingham as a I always think of them as a second division club like Middlesbrough because I seem to remember seeing it in Shute years and years ago. It had the record number of points without winning anything, and I think Birmingham were one of the only clubs that were ahead of us in the leagues. But they're often unfavourably compared to Aston Villa out there, which really annoys them. So we'll say it again.
Yeah, I mean, you raised a blast of the past there. I suspect even Chris Bartley doesn't remember Shoot Magazine, but that was a different line. And why was it, Chris, that in every time you had a focus on in Shoot Magazine, the players always used to say steak and chips as their favourite food?
Yeah, I think it was steak and chips as the food, Neil Diamond was the singer, and Ford Cortina was the car. I used to love those.
So no real change there then in the Premier League in terms of the sort of lines they're going for. But still, what the hey. And Sean, what are your predictions in terms of how things are going for Norwich City and Stoke City?
Yeah, I think Norwich in particular, I think they'll provide a stiff test. I'd like to see us get a win against Birmingham, which will almost, not so we can take the handbrake off, but it will be less pressurised, if you like. Norwich are up there, and I think they're a very decent outfit, so it'd be nice if we can get 3 points on the board before we go there.
Jenny, are you going to give any thoughts on Stoke City and Norwich City, or is it a case of, you know, they're just paving the way for Leicester City on November the 11th?
I think Norwich will be a stiff test. I'd be happy with a 1-1 draw, to be honest. It's not an easy place to play, Norwich, especially if Dealey is running around the stand shouting. I'm not sure about Stoke. I think they ought to win at Stoke. I would give them maybe 2. It'd be lovely to see 2-1, but probably 2-0. It'd be lovely, but probably 2-1 to Borough.
And I think it's fair to say that although we obviously will believe that as far as the France game is actually concerned, it's probably going to be a New Zealand-South Africa Rugby World Cup final. Saying, you know, I can't really see any changes to that. Jenny, I mean, was Ireland in a state of despair? It's obviously the glorious failure at quarterfinals, because Barry know a lot about failing at quarterfinal stages.
Yeah, no, it was heartbreaking. It was one missed penalty, one knockdown clearance, and that's what did it. But hey, they did absolutely the best they could, and it was lovely to see them play such glorious rugby. It really was. And as far as South Africa is concerned, don't forget Japan beat them in Brighton, that glorious time. So you never know.
Indeed.
But even if England win, they're still going to get turned over by New Zealand in the final. So, hey.
But you do have New Zealand links as well, Jenny, if memory serves. You have Maori connections.
I have Maori connections, so at this point, let's face it, providing one of them gets through, I can't lose, can I?
Exactly. There we are. We wish them well. Rob, will you be sort of, once you've seen Borough get a nice 4-0 victory over Birmingham City, will you be gearing up for the World Cup semi-final?
I'm more likely to watch the cricket, I think.
Following failure yet again.
Yeah, well, yeah. The Rugby Union World Cup seems to have gone on forever. I'm wondering if it'll still be going on next year's Euros.
It's paving the way for the Football World Cup, which will go on and on and on and on, basically, certainly from 2026 and 2030. But that's for another debate. I cannot believe, Rob, that for a mere 29 English pounds, you can subscribe to Fly Me to the Moon for 10 monthly issues. Share with us, how can people actually make awareness in this cost of living crisis of that bargain of bargains?
Absolutely, yeah. Yes, if you go to the website fmttmborough.com and go to the fanzine shop, then there's details of that. And so we'll supply you with Chris and me, because Thomas has got a spell away. Chris and me will put them in the envelopes and send them out to you.
There you go. Absolutely wonderful. Essential part of distribution. Proving the paper magazines are still great, because all you get on Fly Me to the Moon podcast, I say all, you get snippets from Thomas and Chris and Sean and others. We haven't got time to actually go through the whole thing, so you want the actually unexpurgated version. A bit like sort of, you wouldn't want just a paragraph from one of Jenny Finch's books. You want the whole novel, basically. And that's the essential side of things there. And Jenny, anything you'd like to promote from your own point of view? I know another Tipperary Tale has gone live today.
Yep. No, if people want to listen to that, that will be wonderful. And if you're looking for a good, cheap, exciting Christmas present, Poppy Brain is now available half price on Amazon.
And it's a great book as well. Quite literally about a puppy with a brain. It's amazing. It's called Puppy Brain. And it tells you a whole range of sort of bits and pieces within that. Okay, Rob, I think we're almost at the time where we need to, with confidence and positivity, as we approach the Birmingham City game, utter those final words. Rob, would you like to take the lead, please?
Yes, indeed. We can say it with a little bit of
style.
Absolutely, yeah. So, Alex, will you count us down? 3, 2, 1.
I shall. 3, 2, 1.
Come on, Borough.
Come on, Borough.
Rain in the air,
filled with love.
There's magic everywhere.
When you're young and in love,
life seems to be
just a dream,
a world of fantasy.
When you're young and in love, each night seems just like the 4th of July, with stars that spangle the sky.
The moon at night
shines so bright,
seems to shine twice as bright,
when you're young and in love.
Dreams can come true, believe they do,
when you're young and in love. So many teardrops are bound to fall. True love can conquer all. When you're young and in love,
trust and you'll find
true love can conquer all.
Spring in the air,
ooh,
dreams can come true.
Try a dream
if you believe they do.
When you're young and in love,
so many teardrops are bound to fall. True love can conquer all. When you're young and in love, young and in love,
young and in love,
young and in love,
young and in love,
young and in love,
young and in love,
young and in love,
young and in love,
young and in love.